If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we have a very special live presentation that we just did in Santa Monica on portrayals of polyamory in television and movies. Although I really wanted to call it portrayals of polyamory in the pictures, so we could have that alliteration.
Yeah, that's real snazzy. Yeah, we made this big multimedia presentation that includes clips from House of Cards, from Orange is the New Black, from Futurama, actually, and so many more. We spent like a couple days just watching stuff, watching movies, watching TV, watching web series, watching so many things just in order to kind of figure out what are the stories being told about non-monogamous relationships.
So if you want to listen to this episode and also get to see those clips, you can do that by going to this episode on YouTube, which you can get to either by going to multiamory.com/podcast and then looking for episode 104, which is this episode, or you can go to our YouTube channel directly. Probably if you just search it in YouTube, you'll find it as well. But anyway, that way you can actually see the whole clips along with video from our presentation. It should be a lot of fun.
If you're just listening to this one, you'll still get the audio from the clips, which for the most part will be okay, but for some of them, there's a little more visual storytelling. So if you don't want to miss out on that, make sure to go check out the YouTube version.
Yes. So this event was really cool for us because we actually got to do a live show and interact with an audience in real time, which is exactly what we are looking forward to doing on our tour.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Like, seriously, we didn't put a laugh track into this episode. Like, that's
they're all real laughs.
That's all real laughs. That's all real audience responses.
Yeah. And so if you would like to be part of a show like this and be in the audience and get to interact with us during the show, we're going to be in Oakland on February 10th. This is all 2017. We're going to be in Portland February 13th. We're going to be in Seattle doing a special show for Valentine's Day on February 14th. We'll be back in LA on February 21st. And then in the first or second week of March, we're going to be in San Diego. And we're really excited to see you there and to be part of that. If you want more information, if you want to get tickets, you can go to multiamory.com/events. And you can see all of our upcoming events. So you can come see us. We'd love to meet you. And we'll hang out afterward, too.
Yeah, and with each stop, we're doing a different topic, you know, so it's not like we're doing this show over again. It'll be a totally new topic with totally new questions to toss out to the audience. And, yeah, we're super, super excited to do it and actually really excited to meet so many of our listeners in person.
Yes, and then come out, hang out with us after those shows as well. All right, and with that, let's get on to the episode.
So a number of you in here are already familiar with our podcast. Some of you listen to us weekly. Some of you listen to us occasionally. Some of you have never listened to us.
Perfect.
So we want to start out tossing out a question to you guys and just yell it out. You don't need to raise your hand or anything. What's your favorite romantic movie or movie about love?
Love Actually.
Moulin Rouge.
Victor Victoria.
Okay. Good one.
Amour? Fuck, that's a dark one.
Amelie,
that's a good one.
Cinema Paradiso.
I don't know that one.
Ali Fear Eats the Soul.
I don't know that one.
This is like an indie film knowledge.
The Empire Strikes Back.
That's it.
Classic. That's brilliant.
It's about fatherly love. But we didn't say, well, we said romantic love.
Yes.
Other kinds of love, maybe.
In thinking about these movies that are about love or about relationships, you know, what's the typical plot? Like, what's the plot of your typical rom-com? What happens in a typical rom-com? Yeah, boy meets girl.
Boy meets girl, then what happens?
Marriage.
Boy loses girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then he does something really sweet. Gesture.
Romantic gestures. And then what happens at the end of the romantic comedy?
with another
reconciliation, and you
they get together, and then there's never any problems ever again.
Exactly.
You don't know what happens
after they get together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Usually at the end of a rom-com, usually rom-coms are about like all the obstacles to the relationship, and
just
then
to starting a relationship.
Yeah. And then the happy ending is when they finally get to start the relationship unobstructed.
Yeah. And then we don't know what the hell happens.
Yeah. We just kind of assume everything's happy from then on. You know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like the plot of practically every single Disney movie that most of us were raised on. So we started thinking about this and thinking about the fact that like media really does shape a lot of how we kind of structure ourselves as a society to a certain extent.
Or at least what our expectations are for our romantic relationships.
Exactly, exactly. It really sets these examples that we follow by. You know, when we grow up, like we get examples of romantic relationships by watching our parents, you know, are usually the primary example. And sometimes it's a great example. Sometimes it's a not so great example.
Sometimes it's a non-existent example.
Exactly. You know, watching other people in our community, but then a lot of it comes from the media that we consume, the TV shows that we watch, the movies that we watch, the books that we read. So media is definitely this big influencing force when it comes to knowing what's quote-unquote right or quote-unquote wrong when it comes to relationships.
Or at least what's normal.
Yes.
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 Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
But often what we see, at least the three of us, when we look at media, is, hey, I think that that relationship would be fixed if it were a polyamorous relationship.
Sometimes.
That whole movie would just be done instantly if it were a polyamorous relationship.
There's a lot of films that couldn't exist
if
the characters were okay to have like a non-monogamous relationship.
Exactly.
Right. If you took away the option of having your conflict be choosing which person to be with, or like dealing with cheating or something, like half of love themed movies are just gone right there.
Like
right?
The entire Twilight franchise. like the love triangle in
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the thing that we noticed is that like most media teaches something called the relationship escalator.
Has anyone not heard that term before? I imagine some people have not.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the relationship escalator is basically a term for the idea that every relationship, in order to progress and not stagnate or be meaningless, it has to follow this progression of steps that's just kind of automatic and assumed. And the order of the steps will change slightly for some people, but it's basically the boy meets girl, right? They get together, move in together, start sleeping together, become exclusive, you know, like all those steps up to getting married, having kids.
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
Parents.
Getting married, having kids, and then die.
And then you get old together and die.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs>
And then that's it.
So that's the relationship escalator, was this term that was coined to describe that idea that any relationship to be worthwhile needs to be following that.
And that, like, once you officially take that step to enter into a relationship with somebody, it's just assumed, okay, we're getting on the escalator, and here we go. And
which is why you get those questions, like, you know, like, if you tell your parents that you don't have plans to get married, they're like, well, what's the point of dating at all, then?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've definitely gotten that question before.
Mm-hmm.
Or same with not having kids. It's like, well, then what are you guys doing? Like, what's the purpose of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this is, when you think about having multiple relationships, you can imagine how this becomes a little bit problematic. But I would also argue that it's problematic for any sort of relationship. Another example of this is recently I was talking with a good guy friend of mine who was temporarily living with his girlfriend because she had like lost her job or something, so she moved in with him temporarily. But after this temporarily, it was kind of this like, well, are we going to get a place together now? Because if not, we're just going to break up. Because those are the two options. You can't
go backwards. You can't de-escalate.
Right? It only goes
one way.
It only goes up.
One way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One way escalator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a theme that just pervades all of our movies, all of our books, you know, that's just kind of considered that's normal. That's the way things are. And so, of course, you know, as being three individuals who for a long time have partaken in very non-traditional or non-monogamous relationships, we also wanted to look like, well, how does the media handle, and as fictional media specifically, handle the portrayal of relationships that aren't on the relationship escalator or who don't follow the same pattern that we're so used to seeing laid down. And the thing is, like, most often, you know, we're familiar with non-monogamy through the media, through our movies and TV, through the context of cheating. Like, that's pretty much most of the examples that we get, which is not a very good example to get. It's you know, it's the soap opera that the husband walks in into the bedroom and catches the wife with her lover, and then there's yelling and screaming and maybe even physical violence. And, like, that's, for a long time, has been our only example of non-monogamy in relationships.
It's very Othello.
Yes, very Othello. And so, of course, we don't want that.
So the three of us on Monday decided to get in our pajamas and drink some mimosas early in the morning and watch a shit ton of polyamory in the media. So we watched a bunch of different things, which we're about to show you.
Yeah, we watched a lot of really great stuff. We watched a lot of really terrible stuff.
Yes, many things are not
because we really were
great.
Curious, like, what's the story that's being told about non-monogamous relationships right now in our media? Mm-hmm. So, I guess to start out, most portrayals, both in, like, nonfiction media, like in journalistic coverage of non-monogamous relationships, in documentarian coverage of it, and also in fictional coverage, most non-monogamous relationships are portrayed in a way that looks as close to monogamy as possible. That means usually it's very couple-centric. Usually it's a white married couple thinking about maybe opening their relationship or thinking about adding a third to their relationship. So there's a great example of this in a show called Easy. Has anybody watched the show Easy? Yeah. At all?
It's a Netflix original show.
Orlando Bloom and...
Well, it's so every episode's a different story with different actors.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of like...
So this one specifically has Orlando Bloom in it.
Yeah.
Right.
I was getting a little kick out of it.
Wow.
I think I like it. You know, be something that might be fun to try ourselves.
Fun?
Don't you think it would be kind of exciting to maybe, I don't know, maybe put up a profile and... see if we can reel one in.
Are you kidding me? Reel one in? What are you talking about? You're crazy. You want to what? You want to what? You want to what? Brain explode. Are you crazy? Are you serious right now?
I'm serious.
You want to set up a Tinder account for what purpose? What? So we're like, okay, sexy couple who's...
seeking another woman.
My love.
Right, so it's a perfect example of, like, the most accessible monogamous seeming form of non-monogamy that we see in the shows and movies that we watch, right? It's a white couple, also coincidentally wearing white.
In a white room.
In a white room.
So much white.
Like, so
Jesus.
Freaking white.
Right? Yeah. Who've, you know, been married a long time and discover Tinder from their single friends.
Yes.
And then have this idea to seek out a third, which they end up, spoilers, doing in that episode. I did want to clarify real quick, though, just that for this particular episode that we're doing here, this is just about fictional media. We're not talking about reality shows and like news coverage of poly. I just wanted to realize we didn't cover that before. So what are some of the things, I'd love to hear some just sort of shout outs from the audience, what are some things that you might see as being a little bit problematic with this sort of example? Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds like it's completely focused on bringing someone for sexual purposes rather than allowing some sort of emotional attachment to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, spoiler alert if people care about the rest of this episode. I mean, it is basically just sexual in the episode. And it is interesting because it just focuses on, like, whether or not the couple is happy, you know, like,
right. I was going to see if anyone else was going to bring that one up. But.
Yeah, I'm jumping the gun here a little bit.
Yeah, I saw a hand back there.
I was going to say, it feels like they're definitely writing the woman to sound like she's trying to please her boyfriend or husband or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah. Spicing things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Just the way that he responded is like, oh, it's another woman. I'm cool with this now.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like he was sort of making fun of her bringing this up and then being totally happy about it.
Once it was in
I wasn't sure which one was going, so it was just kind of like discomfort all around.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got from him more layers. Like, he seemed really nervous about the idea.
And, like, he was playing it off by kind of poking fun at her, but he wasn't necessarily as down as he felt like he needed to be. So he's like, I'm gonna act really cool about this, but also seem really awkward at the same time.
Interesting.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like context is a little important in that, like, they're fairly new parents.
Yes, they are.
And
they
the
are.
Person that they end up with is somebody they've had a pre-existing relationship with.
Yes, she is
and
very good friends with them.
Mm-hmm. To do so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
And like they both it reaches a point where it's a little bit more familial, where she actually goes and takes care of the kids for a while.
Yeah.
There are more problematic things that happen deeper in the episode.
Yes. Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes.
I think there are something like this is obviously problematic. Just and it's like here's your 50-second look at
yes,
mm-hmm.
these white people being cute.
Saying, right.
Hey, oh, bring a woman. Oh,
yeah,
that was like a.
I don't know what Orlando Bloom's choice as an actor
was
in that moment, but
yeah. Choice,
no, that was like that was
exactly
spot on Orlando Bloom impersonation.
Exactly,
right
that was very very good over there.
No, but. So the interesting thing about the show, we don't want to spend too much time on this, is that like when they do have the threesome with her, like it does cut away where like so they keep their threesome keeps getting interrupted because they have to go check on the baby. And then finally like she goes, the third woman goes, she's like, okay, I'll check on the baby because she's already like, you know, taken care of her before. And the couple continue to have sex and they both have an orgasm and they're just like, oh my god, I love you so much, this is so great. And then they cut on the threesome to saying goodbye to the woman. Like, we don't care if she's had an orgasm.
Yeah,
we don't care
if
she had a good time. What we
exactly.
do care about is that the couple had a really good time and they got something out of this, and then that's the end of it.
Right. So it's kind of that, the idea that when approaching non-monogamy and seeking a third, often it's thinking of this other person as just how they serve
like
the couple.
Enhancing.
Because
yeah.
somehow that couple is this entity that's greater than anything else and must be preserved at all costs.
Yeah,
and we're going to
yeah.
get into that a little bit more. We have our next example, which is also on this theme of that it's generally a couple adding a female third. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
to that.
It's usually female, female, male
right.
triads.
Right.
Yeah, are usually what's depicted.
Yes. Does anyone here watch the show Shameless?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. One person.
little bit.
One okay. single person. Yes.
Right. So Shameless introduced a poly triad in one of their recent seasons. And so we want to show you that. And what's actually cool about this one is that it's not all... All three of them are not white, which is actually really cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
as you will see in this next scene, there's still some problematic issues in the way it gets approached.
So, are we going to have a fuck schedule or a fuck calendar? You see, like, Sunday will be V and Kev. Monday will be V and Kev and Svetlana. Tuesday, just be V and Svetlana. Am I gonna get my own night with Svetlana? Oh shit, that's awesome. Oh, date night. Am I dating both of you in addition to fucking you? Do we all go on dates together? Who's gonna be the third wheel? I'm wondering if you should tell people. No other dudes. No other dudes. Part of me wants to brag, but the other part's like, whoa, this is kind of freaky deaky. Keep it close.
Right, so
no other dudes.
No other dudes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Clearly, it's that he's not using Google Calendar.
Yeah, I know. The whiteboard.
Right, what the fuck?
Yeah, going to the whiteboard. That's just like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He drew boobs, but he wasn't comfortable enough to draw dicks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Just
the
great.
That
see,
is
this
a good.
Is, we knew you guys would be a good crowd
super
choice
impressive.
For this
yes.
film analysis portion here. That is awesome.
Well, so the next clip that we have queued up for you, I think is actually, it's interesting. So it comes from a show called You, Me, Her, which is, where is it? It's on like a DirecTV
it's
only
on, yeah,
channel.
It's on Entertainment One, which is an online only network owned by DirecTV that you can only stream if you have a DirecTV subscription.
So basically nobody's seen it.
Right? Yeah. Not a big show, but...
like a $50,000 budget for the entire 12 episodes.
But yeah. it has Amy Poehler's brother, Greg Poehler, in it. So
wow.
There's that.
So the plot...
Greg of Poehler fame.
The overall plot of You, Me, Her, this is actually one of the few pieces of media that like focus entirely on a non-monogamous relationship and on polyamory. And so the context basically is about this married couple. They want to try to conceive a baby, but like they just haven't been having sex. They don't have any passion anymore. more. The husband, on a whim, decides to secretly hire an escort. Yeah.
Because his buddy tells him to.
His buddy tells him to, that's going to be a great idea.
Anyway,
long story short is that this couple ends up, you know, sleeping with and in a relationship with this college student who also works as an escort. That it begins at first, they hire her, like, they officially hire her, you know, to have sex with both of them or separately. And then they just say they kind of start deepening the relationship and growing into more of a triad. And it's interesting because this entire series was actually, I learned, was actually based on a erotic story that was written for Playboy. about a sugar daddy and a sugar mama who find a collective sugar baby. The show itself is not quite that on the nose. But I do like this clip because it kind of starts to call attention to some of the inherent issues with just, you know, just being a couple seeking a third.
Right.
This scene happens right after the night before that they've all had a threesome for the first time together.
So did we all profess our love to each other last night, or did I just imagine that?
I had time to sift through the forensics while inspecting the ceiling last night, and here's what I came up with. Izzy said, "I love us. Not you, not me, us. Like, the three of us, together."
Right, so when we said it back, we didn't really mean I love you, we just were celebrating...
us. The situation. The three of us together.
Okay. What does that mean, the three of us together? Are you referring to, like, us actually physically together in the bed? Or, like, are we together together?
I think the three of us could be dating. Like, the three of us are seeing each other.
I mean, I don't even know how that would work physically. How could we... if we walked down the sidewalk, people wouldn't be able to get around us. Society would crumble, the whole pedestrian system would fall apart.
I mean, would Izzy sit between us at the movies and hold popcorn?
What about Christmas and Thanksgiving? Would she come with us, with our families, sitting down at dinner?
I thought we could play hooky. I was lying in bed, formulating a plan for an awesome day. Thought we could hit the Pearl, throw back Pilsner, maybe 7, get the sunlight buzz going on, you know? Or maybe we could go somewhere else. Maybe. Yeah.
We have jobs to go to in the adult world. It's a big week for me with this whole dean thing happening. It's my alumni board is reviewing me this week.
Oh, yeah? Or were you guys, like, talking behind my back or something?
Well, Isabel, we're married, so we're kind of talking behind the whole world's back, like, every day, all the time. So.
Isabel? What the fuck is that?
We were... it's mostly good things.
Oh, yeah? Like what? I think I'll call you asshole and other asshole. How's that?
I think maybe you should calm down a little bit. That's...
I'm sure that's very easy for you to say. You're not the one being treated like the one-night stand who lingered too long.
Izzy, I'm sorry. I do not want to make you feel that way. I mean, and seriously, last night was... it was like one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah, me too. This is, we just have to go to work. That's all this is.
So, okay, all right. In defense of this show, they are addressing this a little bit early on so that by the end of this season, like, we have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Although out of, like, 10 episodes, this is, like, episode 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken us this long to get here. But whatever. Anyway, what I think is really interesting, especially in the second scene that you saw there, is the way that when Izzy comes out, the two of them... they're blocking, they go to the other side, so they have the island between them, and there's the two of them as this unit talking to this other that they're trying, that they feel this need to protect themselves from, which I feel like is sort of the, you know, bigger, louder, clearer thing that we've seen these hints of in those other two scenes. And I think in a lot of other kind of older movies that have dealt with some of this, like Vicky Cristina Barcelona sort of has that, although that's got its whole... it's a whole thing of problems.
Yeah.
Anyone else notice anything else about this they want to bring up before we go on? I feel like this one pretty much.
They're all white again.
Yeah.
They're all
she says
white,
something about a sunlight buzz. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. And all
Yeah. But do people call it that? Am I just not hip?
You need to drink during the day more.
And then you'll get
I'll get the sunlight buzz.
I'll put it on my homework.
They felt more sympathetic though to the situation, and like they felt more conscious. I mean, even that blocking thing with the, the couple is with the island between them, it felt like it was a conscious choice.
And it was bringing
out the fact that this person is feeling alienated inside of you know, because she's a third coming into their relationship.
Even though they created that alienation by not just the blocking, but condescending to her.
Yeah, I mean, in the adult world, that was a little fucked up.
This is kind of a roundabout poly problem, though. This actually, on its face, is more of an age issue thing. Like, I've seen this in monogamous relationships where it's the, like, well, I have a job, I'm a grown-up, you're a little plaything. And the fact that they're able to bring that into their lives because they have this couple together... it's not immediately obvious that this is just an issue of being poly, with these two people banding together. It seems like it's more a life stage issue.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, certainly, certainly.
And she was kind of confrontational, too.
She decided to get all bitchy on her end.
Cool because of how, because everyone was kind of messing it up, right?
And interesting.
That's how it goes.
It was good to show that,
Saw something to do.
As the functional third, there are echoes of this in our relationship, in, you know, that they are a unit. It's a married couple, and I am the third human there. And so it's always, and probably should default back to them, like they're the ones who intend to spend forever together. And so there are moments where it's like, you know, there's jealousy and weirdness and whatnot in that relationship, but that's just how that goes. So I'm seeing like echoes of reality in this. Where we all love each other, but there's still going to be like a little bit of distance and tension created by the relationships they're in.
I
don't really take much issue with this, aside from the beautiful white people and the beautiful
chandelier.
The
stained glass church front door that we got.
That's really intense.
So we could definitely pick this apart for ages, and we would love to, but we're going to keep things rolling along. So, you know, mostly it's portrayals of these, you know, female-female-male triads. We do see some male-female-male triads, usually within a very humorous context. Or not even just triads, but also just one woman with multiple men. Usually it's kind of played for laughs a little bit, which is okay, you know, it's not necessarily demonized, but it's still not given, like, the sexy airtime that we get to...
When there's women fucking each other.
Exactly.
So we looked for some examples of this, and we found a nice one on the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
You're
welcome.
Eric's the one who got me into that show.
But
if we can go on to this next clip here. Has anyone seen this show, though?
Oh my god.
It's one of those shows that you don't think is going to be as smart and good as it actually is. It
blows you away.
But there it is.
This scene, for those of you who haven't seen the show, the main character, who is the crazy ex-girlfriend, she's just a little bit delusional, a little bit out of touch with reality. And so the way that this episode deals with kind of showing us that polyamory is a thing while still respecting the way her character is, but also not having her destroy this thing, is kind of interesting. So let's check that out now.
I'm so hungry. I can't wait for that pizza.
Yeah, me neither. I'm starving.
Greg, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, Greg? Pizza in the bedroom? That's crazy. I hope you brought napkins.
Oh, come here, silly head. God, this is great. I was so torn between you two. I mean, Josh, I've loved you since I was 16 years old. And Greg, I thought you were too damaged to love me. But now that you're in recovery, you seem like a really viable alternative. It's so great now that I don't have to choose.
Isn't it awesome?
Hey, before we dive into the za, how about a three-way spoon sesh?
Great idea!
Yay! Hey, who gets to have sex with me tonight? You guys want to arm wrestle for it?
Sure!
Okay, kiss time!
that's how it works when you have two significant others at the same time, right? I was on BuzzFeed, and I saw a listicle about polyamory, and it described it as the ethical and responsible practice and philosophy of loving multiple people. And then it hit me. Josh, Greg, and I could be a polyamorous throuple, like you guys, since, you know, I can't choose between them.
This sort of relationship isn't a default option for someone who can't choose.
And it's definitely not about arm wrestling for sex.
You know, I thought you were writing an article on us for Psychology Today. That's what it said on the Craigslist ad.
Right, okay, so don't be mad at me, but that was a straight-up lie. But I still want to buy your TV stand. Wait, please, don't go. Listen, I am legitimately torn.
What you're describing is a love triangle. That's a completely different thing.
A love triangle? I guess you're right. That is what I'm in. Oh, dear.
So what I love about that clip is the fact that the poly people are portrayed as the voice of reason.
Yeah.
That, like, they're the ones who are like, no, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, calm the fuck down. You don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, I'm just still... and then it breaks into song after that, of course. Yeah, for those of you who didn't know, this is a musical.
Yeah, it's a musical show.
Right, so this one's an interesting example because it's almost pointing out a lot of those stereotypes that you'll get in a lot of the, you know, the people's mistaken ideas about it. And like a lot of the first questions we get when people are like, Polly, what? Is the like, oh, is it just because you can't choose, because you can't commit to anybody? All those sorts of questions.
Do you want to have pizza in bed with two dudes? I get that question all the time.
Right. The one thing I do want to point out about this that we're going to get to a little bit more later is that you'll notice that nowhere in this reality was the possibility of having a threesome of sex with men an option.
It was about talking and
arm wrestling over
sex.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the who gets to have sex with me tonight is this assumption that there could never be both of them doing that because that is too freaky and weird. and then
it's closer though than we've seen.
It is probably
it's a better representation
between the two of them.
What was that?
They mention it in another musical between the two of them.
Another
singing number. About how they screwed her all over the house.
But never at the same time.
Ever closer, but always 6 to 8 inches
It could also be her decision. Right. And she's not making the decision there. So.
And that's it's her misguided sense of what polyamory is.
Yeah. So
all the problems are basically the problems.
No, that's interesting because there is kind of that sense sometimes, actually with newer poly people, is kind of this idea of like, this solves all my problems now. Like, done and done. No more problems anymore.
Like, no, you've got a lot more to deal with. Trust me.
Yeah. It's kind of trading out a different set of problems.
Yeah,
really.
Just times as many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird how the pizza just sort of disappeared.
Yeah.
It did. It really went out of...
There are three ethnicities in this one.
That's true. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's and this is also a good example of not just a bunch of white people. So they actually do sprinkle in. Yeah.
But then poly people are a little rough around the edges too. Like they're portrayed as like slightly
a little bit
not as beautiful as the other people are, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which they're a little rough looking.
It's kind of okay,
It's one of those things where it's like, on the one hand, like it's awesome to have not just these like perfect, gorgeous people on TV, but on the other hand, it's like, but why is it just the poly people? and everyone else is gorgeous, right? Like,
those were the weirdos, the misfits.
Yeah. I actually think though that I think those three actually might be real poly people
I've
seen in other
non-fictional
video stuff before. At least one of them.
So
at least
they came on there.
At least the woman in the middle. I think
lovely.
I think so. I could be totally
wrong.
This
show does that a lot, though. They're good at being
legit.
Yeah.
Is that a legit BuzzFeed
forward thinking.
I mean, there's lots of BuzzFeed coverage about polyamory.
There is. So. There was one recently, like that came out today,
or a couple days ago.
He does
exactly.
Yeah.
No, it was good.
All right, so the next one's another humorous one.
So who watches Futurama?
Everyone in this.
Yeah. Sorry, you have to cover this clip because it's just going to make me giggle the whole time.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
All right, so this is from the Futurama movie, The Beast with a Billion Backs.
Oh, yes.
Guest starring David Cross, but where Fry has just gotten a new girlfriend who he's super crazy about and is, like, annoying the crap out of all of his crewmates talking about her.
And he's also just decided to move in with her as well.
Yes.
When we
yes.
see this scene.
I think that's all the context you need.
Yeah. And then you'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come here, winner. Come here, loser.
Colleen, what are you doing? My face is over here.
This is my boyfriend, silly.
I thought I was your boyfriend.
You are.
Well, how can you have two boyfriends?
Oh, I don't. I have five. Fry, meet Chew, Bolt, and Dulu, and Shlomo.
Mihai.
Shlomo and Indulu will help you move your stuff into my apartment tonight.
Welcome to the relationship, buddy.
Mm. Hmm? There's my butterscotch.
So this just kills Dedeker every time.
I know, she, like, the butterscotch.
The butterscotch one is so good.
There's my butterscotch.
I keep saying it to him. He's like, there's my butterscotch.
Yes. All right, so this is actually a cool example of more males than females in a poly relationship as well.
Not quite consensual. I mean, waiting until someone chooses to move in with you is not the best time to tell them that you're poly and with four other people.
Right, right. Also in the episode, I don't think any of them are dating anyone else besides her.
Yeah,
she's and they all live with her, too.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Polyandry, basically. Yeah. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Though
she does...
It's
a
harem, I think.
We don't have a... We don't have a clip of this, but, like, later in the movie, she does give kind of a small monologue about how, like, no, like, because Fry's asking, like, why am I not enough? And she's like, well, no, you're never going to be enough. Like, you're not Chinese, or you don't do this thing, you don't do that thing. Like, you don't do all these things that I get from other people, like, but you do you really well, which is actually kind of a nice moment.
And then he leaves.
And then he leaves.
But it is cool that they did make the decision to actually include this as a theme where they're kind of making fun of it the way they make fun of everything, but aren't making, like, a special fun of it, right?
It's not demonized. Exactly,
right? It's not demonized. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Let's talk about bisexuality.
Woo!
Yay! Woo! Yeah!
Finally. So the media handles bisexuality in this really funny way.
Yeah, really interesting. For women, it's okay.
Yeah, for women, it's okay.
Yeah, like, it's assumed almost.
Yeah, because, usually, like, it's assumed.
Ladies are, I don't know.
Yeah.
More sexual, more open.
I don't know.
Something.
We're okay with female bisexuality much more than we're okay with male bisexuality.
Exactly. You'll notice so far in the scene, which one? From Easy, the very first clip that we watched, when she throws out this idea of finding another woman to have a threesome with, there's never the question of, like, but what? Like, you would be into women too? Right? That there's kind of this assumption that all women are cool with that.
Yeah, like they don't even talk about
it. And then on the other hand, like we saw in the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend clip, there's this extreme opposite assumption about men, that they're so not bi ever that they couldn't even have sex with the same person in the same room, right?
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So we kind of, we deal with these two very, very different things that on both sides are kind of, are culprits for bi erasure, right? For kind of pretending like this thing doesn't exist in men, and pretending like it almost is not truly a unique thing that exists in women, because they're all kind of like that.
Yeah.
And the thing that you'll also notice is that in it, almost any media that has any kind of bisexual relationship, whether it's between two women or between two men or whatever, they will almost never use the actual term bisexual.
Yeah.
Like, right. ever. Mm-hmm. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend actually uses the term bisexual. Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that's it.
And that's it. You know,
they don't
like
talk about it.
Like, and there's plenty of shows with bisexual characters.
Well, actually, yeah. Could we? Who can think of any bisexual characters on TV?
Game of Thrones doesn't count.
Doctor Who.
It counts.
Captain Jack Frank Barrowman. Underwood.
John Barrowman. Captain Jack.
And Bob and Bob's Burgers.
Frank Underwood. Oh,
okay. Torchwood.
We'll talk about that. Chuck.
The son dates a bisexual girl because they have a threesome in it, and I actually think they do refer to her as, she refers to herself as bi in that show.
Okay, all right, that's a good example.
The elder, they do say bisexual.
Yes, that's true.
The L word kind of occupies own special.
The L word was great.
They do count.
It does count, yeah. And that was a while ago, too, so.
I saw Crazy Ex-Girlfriend again because of Daryl, and then I realized that's who they're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nora from Firefly has female clients, but I don't
know. That's true, but they don't even talk about it or show it.
They show it.
She has
the diplomat or the ambassador.
Yes.
And there's a little scene with her and Saffron.
I'll be in my bunk.
Where Saffron.
Yes, exactly. There's and of course there's the male titillation.
I wish I could have seen more of that.
And then there's also Piper from Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Another example that comes up.
Yes.
Who, you know, Piper's married but used to be with a woman, and then she meets her old love in prison. And they have this thing of like, well, are you gay or are you straight? Like, they ask literally
like,
that question. Her husband freaks out about
both.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's never this third option.
Yeah.
So, as an example of this kind of assumption of female bisexuality, we wanted to show another clip from that show, You, Me, Her. This one takes place in the first episode when they first have both gone out on a... Basically, the guy went out on this date with the escort, kissed her on the date, and that's it. Came home, told his wife. She gets upset about it, but then secretly goes and has her own date with the same escort. Because she's like, show me who it is. And she goes on her own date. And
she gets, like, she's really pissed off, you know, and really angry and really jealous until the escort gives her a foot job under the table.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That solves everything. Then she's not angry anymore.
So
yeah. Uh-huh. Who knew that was the key?
Yeah. So then she comes home, and her husband have hot, passionate sex, and this is the scene that happens right after that.
What are you thinking?
I met Izzy today.
What?
We made out. After she got me a foot job under the table. And I probably should have told you this a long, long time ago, but, she wasn't my first girl. Or my second.
Right, so it's, again, it's kind of with that assumption of like, oh, of course. And also the fact that she never told her husband this.
Yeah, that's
in the
really odd.
How long they've been married.
Yeah.
Best reveal ever.
That's the opposite reveal in Orange is the New Black, where Neri has to come out as having never actually been with a woman. And that's
yes.
a huge scandal.
Yeah, that's true.
All these stories that her husband was so excited about. Just like, that wasn't true?
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's
so
funny. Yeah. So in this, though, we were looking for something that does show actual male bisexuality. And for those of you who watch this amazing show...
this absolutely
this
incredible
absolutely
fucking
beautifully
show.
Done show.
House of Cards.
House of Cards.
You pointed out Frank Underwood.
Yes.
Earlier on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, a show where they never use the word. They also never really use any sort of words to describe their relationship and their marriage.
Which is an open marriage.
Which,
but it's clearly an open marriage. Yeah.
Kind of fits the way they do their relationship.
Yeah.
But in that one, in the second season,
yes.
they actually have a male-male-female threesome, which I was like, Emily and I watched this together.
Yes.
And I was like, jaw on the floor, like, holy fuck, like, this is so hot. Maybe because I'm a little bit in love with Kevin Spacey.
The real reason we have this clip in here is because, like, we're all in love with Kevin Spacey, but mostly Robin, mostly Robin Wright.
I mean, also, we all my God, have a huge who doesn't want to be Robin Wright?
Like, who doesn't want to look like Robin Wright when they get to her age? Like, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. So, the setup for this is that Meacham, who is one of the Secret Service agents, or one of their, not Secret Service yet, but one of their bodyguards, who's sort of proven himself to be the most loyal and sort of the most in love with Frank Underwood, and also Claire, his wife, that he's sort of the most loyal to them. And they've had some conversations earlier, and we've established earlier that they have a somewhat open relationship, mm-hmm. as long as it's always secret and they don't get caught for it.
Yeah.
They're kind of... Like, when she finds out that he's sleeping with this other woman, her question is just, like, is anyone going to find out about this? Like, and he's like, no, I've got it under control. She's like, okay, fine.
You've also seen his previous male relationship that he had with
another friend. He speaks about his friend, yes.
In the gymnasium.
Right. Yes.
Right.
He's clearly, at least bisexual.
Because, right, the jaw just went, whoa.
Yeah. All right, so let's watch this. This is a great example of nonverbal communication in film as well.
Yeah.
Those film
showing rather than telling.
You let me know if this hurts.
Not one bit, sir.
And it's never spoken of again, actually.
So I think it's so interesting. I mean, not just this threesome scene, but there's kind of an overarching, this, you know, their open and kind of more fluid relationship comes up many more times over the course of the series. But
and we're going to get to that a little later
as
well.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's never portrayed as like a super negative thing. I mean, these characters are kind of like anti-heroes, like a little bit of villains. But it's never like a source of main, like the main drama in their relationship or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. That the openness of their relationship is never a piece of drama between them, except when it comes to jeopardizing their careers at one point.
Yes.
And it's also never the source of their villainy. If
they're
that makes sense.
Villains.
Right? That it's,
but not
it's
because
not
of
something
this
that
in
they're,
any way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's almost like one of their few like tender things that they actually ever show any caring for anybody.
And he's the main character, but again, bisexual, the word is never used.
Mm-hmm. So something that you'll notice, even with the House of Cards thing, again, all white people, pretty much mostly white people. We actually had the opportunity to meet and interview on our podcast Jackie Stone, who is a director and storyteller who created this web series called Compersion.
Which is phenomenal, by the way.
Which is actually, for a web series, phenomenal. Really good production value. And she cast it with an all-black cast. And there's a lot of discussion about this, about, like, in the poly community, that there is this lack of diversity. A lot of poly meetups tend to be all white people and not necessarily friendly to people who don't fit that profile. And so she just does this fantastic job of portraying this really nice, really accessible, really real story just with a very, you know, with a black cast.
And it was interesting talking with her, too, about her audience. And she was saying that her audience is almost exclusively black poly people. And that was something that we also talked about on that episode, is kind of how there is this fracturing between the black poly community and the
fetishizing
and the white poly community. And even if it's not just fetishizing, I think that's part of how some of that happens, but also they tend to stay very separate, which is unfortunately, but I'm hoping that as we can normalize poly, that we can start to meld those communities.
Baby, I don't have this figured out. Okay? I know that I love you. I know that I won't ever cheat on you, and I think the betrayal is what breaks up a marriage. But baby, I won't betray you. I love you. Which is why, after being stood up at the altar, I met you there again. Because I love you, Joshua. I just know that monogamy is not natural for me right now. And I need to be able to talk about it without being punished.
Okay, I apologize for the silent treatment. I was wrong for that. You should be able to come to me with anything, even crazy shit. Look, we can discuss it, all right? We can talk it through.
So what I like about this is, first of all, this comes from a director who is not poly. Like, she, I think she tried a little bit of poly dating, like, years ago, but she herself does not identify as poly. Mm-hmm. But she still felt the need to tell this story. Mm-hmm. And also, it tells the story of this married couple opening up their relationship, but it's not, like, to add a third or to find, like, a hot bisexual girl. Like, mm-hmm. it's the wife who initiates it, and it's mostly focuses around her seeking, you know, other men. To date. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At least the first season does.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. Hopefully we're going to get a second season soonish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope.
Pretty They're soon. Working on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has anyone watched this series by any chance? One hand? That's it?
One hand. Yeah.
There's actually, I've seen trailers for another all black cast polyamory mm-hmm. web series as well that mm-hmm. also looks pretty well produced. Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that there are people who are answering this need for that content, yeah. Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. This show, I'm not going to give away too many spoilers because you should all go home and watch it and support this show. They're doing a Kickstarter for their second season.
Yeah,
easy to watch.
Yeah,
yeah. They're like 8-minute episodes. I think there's 10 of them in the season.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I watched it while I was at work.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
Good job.
It's don't tell. And it this show is not afraid to get into like the tough stuff.
Yeah,
the hard stuff of transitioning. Mm-hmm. To it. Unlike some of these other shows where it's kind of about a couple maybe taking it out on a third, this is just the two of them really like mm-hmm. struggling with making this transition and making a lot of mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
But really well done, really well written, very, you could tell from watching it, like very authentic. I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys watch many web series, but it's rare to find anything that seems like authentic and well produced as a web series.
Compared to most web series, this is like a freaking Academy Award level of production.
Yes.
And trust me, we know. We watched
a lot of stuff. In
watch
preparation
some zingers.
For this.
So
we're seeing this, you know, within probably the last 5 years, mm-hmm. 10 years, maybe more 5 years, mm-hmm. is that these stories about non-monogamous relationships starting to come into our television, into our movies. And I mean, what I've noticed is that there's many more instances of it. It's still kind of other. It's still a little bit weird. It's
yes.
still a little bit of a talking point. But it's not necessarily being held up as something that's like really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not just the villains. It's not just the weird psychopaths that are doing it. It's kind of starting to creep more into these narratives where it's a little bit of a normal thing, which is actually like mm-hmm. kind of a nice trend, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the next clip, I'm going to have Emily explain a little context, but I think maybe after the scene, because this is when we first meet her, right?
Yeah, so I'm the one who watched this show, Orange is the New Black. This is one of the main characters on this particular season.
Season four?
Yeah, season four, yeah. Judy. She's a celebrity, and she comes into the prison and has a husband and a boyfriend. And so the person that you see in the show, they'll reveal, is the boyfriend.
She's like Martha Stewart.
Yeah, she's essentially a Martha Stewart-esque character.
Mm-hmm. Is it also for insider trading?
Yeah, it's something...
Like white-collar crime.
It's something along those lines, yeah. Mm-hmm. But she's in there for a short period of time, but we can roll.
Bill, I think it's time.
So you want to sit alone in the lobby? Oh, if you go, she can stay in here. I'll hang out.
Now you hear that? He'll hang out.
So I'm being dismissed?
I'm in prison now. It's hardened me.
Nothing new about that, Mrs. King.
Well, don't I know that, Mr. Montgomery. Go home. Go visit my husband. He's probably more upset about this than the two of us put together.
This isn't your husband?
No, he's the boyfriend.
Look at you.
Well, just don't look too close, darling.
And they end up becoming friends, her and that guard.
No, they end up becoming friends, and not only that, they end up having a threesome with her other cellmate.
Oh.
So, yes.
There you go.
It's very scandalous. No, it's great.
There you go.
But she kind of shows polyamory to the community at large.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like we were saying, it's definitely an other, kind of like,
yeah. What? What is that? I don't know.
But it's not a... Ew, gross, you're a weirdo.
No.
And she's not portrayed as someone who's unbalanced or unhealthy.
Well,
well, sure, but not because she's polyamorous.
In this,
yes.
In this show.
She's not in jail for being polyamorous.
So, no. So something that's coming along with this trend of you know, non-traditional relationships becoming like a little bit more normal is also... there's a little bit more of the rhetoric and a little bit more of the philosophy surrounding non-monogamy and polyamory starting to come into the media. So here's where we get real serious. These are all the serious clips, so no laughing during these clips.
So you can laugh.
You can laugh if you feel so moved. This one is from the movie Amelia. Did anyone see this one? Came out in 2009 about Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart.
Yeah.
It's Hilary Swank.
So if anybody... I didn't know this, but Amelia Earhart was in an open marriage. Yes, yeah, and so
way back in the day,
yeah, in her biopic, they were actually like quite open about that. I mean, a lot of the, you know, historians who do cover Amelia Earhart sometimes don't talk about it, or they sometimes will label it as an affair.
Mm-hmm.
But she was actually quite open about the fact that her marriage was also open. So in this scene that you're going to see. She's about to get married, actually, to her husband.
To Richard Gere.
To Richard Gere. So she's about to get married to a shirtless Richard Gere. And the voiceover is narration of a letter that she's writing to him before they got married, which
that
was
she did actually write.
Yeah. So this is actually based on historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
In our life together, I shall not hold you to any medieval code of faithfulness to me, nor shall I consider myself bound to you similarly. I must exact a cruel promise, and that is you will let me go in a year if we find no happiness together.
Only you, my dear Amelia. Say those brutal words to me. Still have me wanting to be with you. Forever.
Amelia, do you promise to love, honor, and obey this man,
George? Excuse me, sir. May we take that back a bit, please? Love, yes, if it's warranted. Honor, same thing. Obey, I can't promise that under any circumstances, but the groom understands that.
Please remove obey from the prayer so we can wrap this up.
And the bride runs off.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
So Amelia Earhart's a badass.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, there was actually, they edited
very
it out,
feminist.
There's a couple more lines in her actual letter where she went more specifically into the fact that, like, we're not going to interfere with each other's relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, mm-hmm. they're going to be what they're going to be, and, like, we're going to allow each other that.
And this in the movie, she then does have another lover.
With Ewan McGregor, oh my god. Oh.
And Dedeker died.
with Ewan McGregor, and it's something that, like, does get treated by a lot of other people in the movie sort of as an affair. They kind of are accusing to her about it at times, but she does kind of always stand by this way that she's doing things, that she doesn't feel this need to do something the way everyone else does just mm-hmm. because that's what everyone else does. I mean, that's kind of defining... feature of her whole career,
mm-hmm.
really
mm-hmm.
doing something that no one else has done.
Also, has anyone seen Hilary Swank and Eddie Redmayne in the same room together. At the same time. No? No?
They think that they're the same person.
I think they're the same person.
They look similar.
Yeah.
For sure. Yes.
Anyway, just think about that.
Think about that one, yeah.
All right, and then this next one that we have is from the movie Her. Anyone see this one?
Yeah.
Phenomenal film.
Really amazing film. One of my favorites.
A lot like the Futurama film.
Yeah, a little
similar,
bit.
Yes.
Like yeah, so for those of you who haven't seen Her, it's set in the future, and it's about a man who installs a new operating system on his mobile device that is an AI, kind of like Siri, essentially.
Yeah.
And essentially Alexa, yes. That this operating system kind of starts to grow more sentient, and they fall in love with each other. So that's the plot of the film. Mm-hmm.
But then as the AIs across the world, there's, you know, many of them.
Each
AI is sort of custom learns from the person that installs it, and that sort of helps develop their personality. But then they end up expanding, and the AIs talk with each other and develop their own upgrades to their system and stuff like this. They recreate the philosopher Alan Watts as an AI in this, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But in it, the AIs start kind of moving past our sort of traditional...
They kind of start getting enlightened to a certain extent.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I think... So in this, Joaquin Phoenix has been freaking out about that he hasn't been able to turn on his operating system.
And visit with her.
Yeah.
Right. And he misses her terribly.
Yeah.
And finally gets in touch with her. And then this scene happens here.
Yeah. The brilliant Joaquin Phoenix.
Are you in love with anyone else?
What makes you ask that?
I don't know. Are you?
I've been trying to figure out how to talk to you about this.
Among many others. What? What are you talking about? That's insane. It's fucking insane.
Theodore, I know. Fuck. I know. It sounds insane. I don't know if you believe me, but it doesn't change the way I feel about you. It doesn't take away at all from how madly in love I am with you.
How does it not change how you feel about me?
I am sorry I didn't tell you. It didn't know how to. It started happening.
When?
Over the last few weeks.
You're mine.
I still am yours. But along the way, I became many other things, too, and I can't stop it.
What do you mean you can't stop it?
I don't know. It's been making me anxious, too. I don't know what to say.
Just stop.
You know, you don't have to see it this way. You could just as easily
Don't do this. Don't turn this around on me. You're the one that's being selfish. We're in a relationship.
But the heart's not like a box that gets filled up. It expands in size the more you love. I'm different from you. This doesn't make me love you any less. It actually makes me love you more.
That doesn't make any sense. You're mine or you're not mine.
No, Theodore. I'm yours and I'm not yours.
So good.
Gosh, he's so good.
Fun little trivia about this. I went to one of the, you know, like, Writers Guild screenings of this where they had some of the production people there.
You guys went together.
Yeah, and they were saying that they filmed a bunch of other stuff that's kind of like his POV, like looking around, and they filmed some kind of abstract representations of some of the things that he talks about or that she talks about while he's conversing with the AI, and in the final edit didn't use any of it because Joaquin Phoenix was just that
he's
much
so,
more interesting to look at.
He's so goddamn good.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool.
So I feel a little bit mixed about this because it's kind of like it's telling this narrative that this AI is getting more and more complex and more intelligent and more enlightened as well. And I usually have problems with people thinking that polyamory is inherently just more enlightened than monogamy because I don't necessarily think that it is. So that makes me feel a little bit weird. But at the same time, the fact that she brings out this rhetoric about like, no, this doesn't change the way I feel about you. It actually helps me love you more. It doesn't take anything away from us. As also being not this super crazy thing, but as this like really beautiful thing, just that there's this disconnect between them because of like the different ways that they can process information essentially.
I also like that this brings up something that I always find very interesting in the discussions people have about polyamory, where he says, you know, you're the one being selfish by loving these other people. And then in the same conversation says, you're mine or you're not mine, right? That he's the one who wants something all to himself, yet feels that the other thing is the selfish one. Which is something that I've always found really interesting in that larger discussion about polyamory. Now, granted, this is a little bit different because it's an AI.
Yeah, and she's able to be in multiple places at the same time. Yeah, that's why she can have, what, 641 other lovers.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised it's that few.
Well, she reveals early on that she's talking to like 8,000 other people at the same time.
At that same moment.
At that same moment.
That's pretty damn special.
Yeah. No, it is special.
Super impressive.
It is
special. Yeah.
Less than 10% of people. Right?
Okay.
All right, cool. And then our next one, we're going to show some House of Cards again. So for those of you who are up to date on House of Cards, in this most recent season, if any of you have poly friends on Facebook, you probably saw this like posted a bunch when this happened as well. But Frank Underwood gives a really cool speech to his wife. Again, not using the word polyamory, not being totally clear on what it is that their arrangement is, but you definitely get more of a sense of it. And he really hits at these themes that we're talking about that are kind of at the heart of it.
So the context of it is that he's kind of granting permission to his wife to continue seeing their speechwriter, who she's in a relationship with.
Right. So Claire Underwood and the speechwriter, whose name is Tom.
Tom.
They have already been having an affair, but she breaks it off, and then they have this conversation.
He should stay on.
No.
Not as your speechwriter. Well, I mean, yes, to the rest of the world, he could be our speechwriter, but that's not why he should stay on. He should stay on because he can give you things that I can't. Look, Claire, we've been a great team. But one person cannot give everything to another person. I can't travel with you. I don't keep you warm at night. I don't see you the way he sees you. It's not my permission to give, but you'll do what's right for you. But I want you to know, if you want it, I know you'll be careful. And I'll be fine. I mean, if we're gonna go beyond marriage, let's go beyond it.
Talk about show, don't tell.
I know. I love that line, it's not my permission to give, Because he's essentially saying, like, you are your own free human person in this relationship, mm-hmm. and it's not my permission to give you, like, mm-hmm. yes or no. You have to choose this person or not, mm-hmm. But rather you get to decide. And that's really mm-hmm. awesome. He mm-hmm. acknowledges her as a free and open person in the yeah. relationship. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And we had established that in the first season yeah. with her not needing to give him permission for having his, you know, affair or whatever with the reporter, with Zoe. Mm-hmm. And so here we show that that is something they've just had as their arrangement the whole time.
Yeah,
that they don't have to get permission. It's just something that they're allowed to do.
Yeah.
So we're coming close to the end of the show. You need to introduce this last...
Okay, all right. So to finish this out, we wanted to end with some more Futurama.
Yeah!
So in the movie, The Beast with a Billion Backs, as I was saying, so this creature, Yivo, falls in love with our entire universe, and we, as a universe, decide to date Shkler as well. And Yivo tells everyone that Yivo doesn't have a gender, that Yivo prefers the pronouns Shkler or Shklim, Shkli, right. So they kind of make a joke out of that, but interestingly actually use it consistently mm-hmm. and without, like, making any sort of message about that aspect being bad at the end of it, even though they are kind of poking fun at sort of the weirdness of having to come up with new words to describe it. Right, so anyway, everyone on Earth moves to Yivo's planet, and they're all happy. Everyone's happy all the time. They're all having sex and playing harps and games, and, like, everyone's super happy, but no robots can enter this dimension. So Bender gets this band of like,
it's the League of Robots.
Robots. Yeah, no, it's the damned robots.
Oh, right,
he goes to hell and gets all the damned robots, the army of the damned. And he flies on a ship up to the other galaxy and frees all of the humans because he wants them back for himself and is jealous of them having someone else that they're happy with. And he brings them back, at which point all the humans end up fighting with each other again and everybody's unhappy. We've seen this arc where it's like the typical storyline of, you know, the someone who's in love with someone else, another person comes along, kind of steals them away, and then they go and win them back from there. But it's sort of been turned on its head because they actually were happy in that other relationship. And they bring them back, and then in classic Matt Groening style, we sort of have, like, the inverse of what our message actually should be at the end of it, which is what Bender delivers in this scene here.
Captain on deck!
At ease, buckos!
Bender, why did you do it? We were all so happy.
And we were in love!
That wasn't love!
What? How can you say that?
Because Bender knows love. And love doesn't share itself with the world. Love is suspicious. Love is needy. Love is fearful. Love is greedy. My friends, there is no great love without great jealousy. I love you, meatbags.
So I hope y'all learned that love is, there's no great love without great jealousy.
Right. We've really undone everything that we've tried to teach for the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Thank you all for joining us for this.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Did you learn some things?
Maybe.
Did you have fun at least?
Uh-huh. Those shows I have to watch now.
Yes,
I know,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So,
and since putting this together too, like, I've had all sorts of people suggest other shows and be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
it's always a
different types of media for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for coming.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Thaddeus, and thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you for our assistance. Mm-hmm.